Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 255 of a Wrestling Gal podcast, providing you with the female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J., as today, I am joined by your LPW Challenge champion, Taryn from Accounting. Now let's chat! Hello, everybody. Today, I am joined by your love wrestling champion, Taryn from Accounting. So how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic to be speaking with you today. Of course, we have the whole love wrestling family in common. I've interviewed some of your competitors and all that. But firstly, just judging by your Twitter bio, two things are definitely for certain when you enter the ring: death and taxes. So we'll talk about the first part of that for a bit. Have you actually ever competed in an official death match yet? And if so, can you tell us about your experience?
No, I never have. Okay. And I don't think I ever would. Like, I got into wrestling pretty late, and like, it just doesn't appeal to me. Like, that kind of like pain and blood. Like, if I bleed, I bleed. That's great. But I don't know.
Okay. So when you say in your Twitter bio then that like death is imminent, can you elaborate on that a bit?
I'll kill you. Like, snap your neck, whatever. No, it's just kind of like a bit of like, you know, I'm aggressive, I'm hard hitting. So like, you know, when you step into the ring with me, like, you know, could be death, but it might just be tax.
So yeah, basically you're going to take out your opponents with death and taxes. But if you were to ever have maybe a death or hardcore match, what would be your weapon of choice?
I don't know, maybe a calculator. Like, you might see one day that like, I need a calculator in my finishing move.
I was thinking a clipboard too as well. I think you could just whack somebody over the head with it, honestly.
Yeah, I've definitely used a clipboard before, but yeah, calculator, maybe a little abacus.
Or somehow if it's like one of those TI-84 ones, like, I don't know, something like it could short circuit or something. I don't know. There's a lot of things I think you could do with the whole accounting thing, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
I know you said you're not much of a fan of like the death or hardcore spots, but what would you say is maybe the wildest or most extreme spot that you've witnessed inside a wrestling ring?
That I've witnessed? There was this like death match that we did in Clandestine One, and just the amount of like light tubes that they were using, and just that one was probably the like the most hardcore one I've seen in person. And like a friend of mine was in it, and he was pulling out glass like months later, like having to rip it out of his arms, and yeah, tons of blood. I don't want to do them. I'm not a fan of like, but I like watching them. Like, it's kind of a sick thing, but I do enjoy watching them.
See, Taryn, I find this quite ironic though, considering one of your dream matches is with someone who is no stranger to death matches in the form of Alley Catch.
I know, she's hardcore.
Yeah, so I mean, I love her. I love the allure of her, everything she does. But what for you intrigues you into wanting a match with her sometime?
You know what? I just think like inside the ring, outside the ring, like I relate to her a lot. And like, I love following her on social media, obviously. And like, you know, even the stuff she talks about or like shows about her life that's not wrestling related, like I really relate to her. And like, I feel like we're quite similar. And, you know, like, I like her whole like friendship with Effie and their like bussy stuff going on. And like, I have my friendship with Stephen Crow, and it's like very similar where we're like, I know.
No, somebody's got to book them that tag team match sometime then.
Oh my god, that would be my dream come true.
We got to get you over here to the States, or we got to get them to Canada like right away. We'll have to talk to Spencer Love about this.
I know. Effie was just here, actually. I was just on a show with him for New, out of Vancouver. And I was like, I'm one step closer. My, like, 6 degrees mm-hmm. are getting smaller.
Mm-hmm. I mean, paging Spencer Love of Love Wrestling. I have him on speed dial. So we gotta make it happen sometime.
Yeah, I would love it.
Honestly, I feel like that would be so fun wherever it would be, because I mean, Bussy is their own thing, has their own thing going on, but I feel like you could bring a lot to the table as well. It would be really, really fun.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for saying.
I know. Would you make like an exception for a death match in that instance, or what would be your stipulation of choice outside of the traditional tag team match?
I don't know. You know what? Steven's pretty hardcore. So like, I think he would be into it. He's like up for anything. He's like, honestly, the strongest person I know. I broke his wrist one time. We were like practicing a move and he's just like, it's okay. Like, no big deal. Hardly hurts.
Oh my God. He's like, that's hardcore.
So I kind of throw him to the wolves.
I mean, if he can do all the work, all you got to do is pick up the pinfall. That's all you got to do then.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's so cool though. And I feel like too, with your look and your persona is very specific, I would say. So I'm very curious, like, where do you even draw inspiration from for your ring gear?
I don't know. Honestly, like, I had no clue where I was going with everything when I started wrestling. Like, I didn't know what kind of wrestler I wanted to be, or like, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to like project to people. So it all just kind of came naturally towards like my abilities in the ring and like what I was able to do, because I'm not a high flyer. I'm not like flips and tricks and stuff like that. Like, I'm just kind of strong and like I like to hit hard. So the gear just kind of came from that. Like, you know, just looks, it's simple but strong, and like, you know, it's nothing crazy.
I feel like it, I can't describe it. I feel like it just suits you. So like, I was just very curious from that. And you mentioned like you have like a very unique style and all of that. So where do you even go about like studying material, like whether it's a match or a certain wrestler from the patch? Is there like any certain person or era you find yourself gravitating towards too when like studying wrestling, if you do it all anyways?
I don't much, but I do gravitate towards like the Attitude Era. I'm like obviously obsessed with Stone Cold. My
yes.
name is Austin. Like, I just like that whole like badass attitude, and like whether it's a heel or a face, like you just still don't want to fuck with that person.
No.
And like, I have like the best trainer in the world, Michael Richard Blaze. And so he like really helped me develop my style, and he really understood that like, I don't want to be like this certain like crazy technical wrestler. So he really helps me develop it. He's like, you should try this, or like, this is something that might be cool. Or he's like, just super open. I always think I have ideas because I don't watch that much wrestling. So I'm like, what about if I did something like this? He's like, yeah, so-and-so does that. And it's really cool. We can do it like this to make it your own. I'm like, oh, I thought I made that up. And he's like, you don't make anything up. Like, wrestling has been around forever.
Fair enough. And too, there's a lot of programming. Like nowadays, I don't even watch a majority of it live. I just catch up like on Twitter, on YouTube and stuff like that. So sometimes I miss spots too and think, or that I've thought of something and it's already been done, I find out. But I definitely feel you. There's a lot to catch up on. But like, I feel like with your signature look too is definitely your split dye hair, which I have been wanting for a long, long time myself. But what really prompted you to go the split dye hair route with the blonde and the brown?
You know what? It honestly wasn't wrestling related. I just like, I don't know. I always like to do something a little bit different. And I think, honestly, I was going on tour selling merch with a band to Montreal and was like, let's do something different. Like, so like the day before I was like, just... And my friends, my stylist, he's like, are you sure you want to do this? And I was like, yeah, why not? It's just hair. So it wasn't wrestling related, but it definitely helps with like standing out a little bit.
So you just opened a whole can of worms with just glossing over the fact, oh yeah, I went on tour like with the band, like selling merch. I mean, Was it, I think it was AFI you had been wanting to go to for a while. Was it them or like what was the whole process?
No.
Okay.
No. But I do fucking love AFI. Yeah. That was my high school heroes. When I was driving like in high school, I had like a Fire Inside sticker on my car. Like obsessed. I wish it was AFI. No, it was just like some friends of mine's bands. There's this music festival in Montreal called Pooza Fest. And it's an awesome like punk rock music festival. So
would you say that's kind of your genre that you find yourself gravitating towards?
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of like what I grew up with. My sister got me into them, obviously, like when I was in like junior high or high school. I think she went to an AFI show and she brought me back a CD because I couldn't go. So that was like one of the first albums that kind of really set me going. And then in high school, I like got into promoting shows, like just with like local bands and stuff in halls.
How do you even go about like becoming, by promoting, can you elaborate on that? Cause I don't want to like misconceive it at all.
Oh, like I just would like rent out a hall and then I would contact a bunch of bands from like surrounding towns and cities. I grew up in a small town, so we didn't have anything. So I would bring them down from Edmonton and they would just play in the Lions Hall. And then all my friends would come.
I found that very fascinating too, though. And I know too with AFI, like 16-year-old, you loved that first concert you went to. So can you tell me more about that first AFI concert for you?
Well, the first one I went, or the first time I saw AFI, think was at like Warped Tour, must have been. I saw them at a Warped Tour, which was fun. Like Warped Tour used to be so cool and so fun. I moved to like Edmonton, the big city, and then they would come here quite often, so I got to see them a couple times. And then they were actually just here a couple years ago. I was driving home from work and I was listening to the radio and they're like, tonight at wherever, like AFI and Anti-Flag. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I could miss Anti-Flag but still catch AFI. And so like, I just went by myself, watched AFI and then bounced. It was so good.
Yeah, those are a whole like different concert experience. Are they fitting into like the punk rock genre, would you say? Because I personally haven't listened to them, but I'm very curious.
AFI?
Yeah.
I mean, like they're different now, obviously, like they've kind of like evolved into something different, a little bit, you know, synthier and, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's like once punk, always punk, but they were really, really hard. Like, you know, even before I got into them, you know, like really skate punk and really like, you know, kind of emo-y
grunge kind of maybe
a little goth.
Interesting. Okay, so I'm honestly like concerts, I've gone to a few concerts since the pandemic has, I mean, for a while that was the one thing I was missing, was like concerts and live music. What has been, maybe it was them, but what has been the best live performance that you've ever seen?
Probably the Bronx, and like not just one show, but like every time I get to see the Bronx is like euphoria. It's so amazing to see them live. Like they get right into the crowd, and like, well, the singer does, Matt, and he gets into the crowd and everybody's so into it. They're like hardcore fans, you know, and everybody's singing together and dancing, and it's not like it's a range of ages at the crowd, but they're very respectful, you know, like if you want to just stand on the side of the pit, like they're not going to come bash into you. They're like, oh, sorry, ma'am.
Yeah.
Just, like, keep going on their way, you know?
Yeah. So concerts are a lot of fun too, especially like within different genres and all of that too. But we were talking about like your signature look and your ring gear and all of that. In your perspective, who do you think has the best ring gear game or aesthetic in professional wrestling today?
Ever? Honestly, it's going to sound so dumb. Okay, no, I have to think of something better. Probably Sasha. I mean, obviously Sasha. Like, her gear is fucking so cool. And Liv's mm-hmm. gear is like always amazing. Yeah, and I always liked Lana's gear.
Definitely. I laugh because Sasha has become such a consistent answer. This is like one of the questions I like asking. And even just the other day, somebody else said that I think Sasha Banks has been said like 10 times now, but I think it's a real testament to her gears are just iconic. I mean, yeah. Like the versatility and her coordinating it with her hair is definitely like lovely to see. Definitely Liv Morgan though too, like that Britney gear she had at Elimination Chamber, like oh my god.
Okay, but can I tell you what first came to my head?
Yes.
It's the dumbest answer, and I can't even put my finger on why. I wanted to say Kevin Owens, which is probably the
you're a Stone Cold year. Taryn, you are a Stone Cold fan talking about his rival going into WrestleMania.
I know, but I don't even know why that like pops into my head. But the more I think about it, I'm like, I just dig it.
Yeah.
T-shirt and shorts. Like,
yeah, he has a great theme song too. I don't know how to describe it, but it's like, it feels Attitude Era-y, if that even makes sense. I don't know how to describe it, but I think that's hilarious.
Yeah. And I just like Kevin Owens. Like, he's a punk rocker. Cool.
And he does the stunner. So that, there you go. I mean, makes sense. But I know besides wrestling, I saw you're also a bit of a bowler. So could you tell me more about your ventures in bowling?
Oh, yeah. I guess so. I was in a bowling league for like a couple of seasons with my friends. Like, it wasn't that like, wasn't serious. It was just kind of like a beer league just to have fun. But we were really good. I think we were called like the Spare Tires or something. Or wait, something about doing it in the alley. Back alley somethings. Yeah.
It's a pun. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They have to be punny. But yeah, it was so much fun. I kind of forgot that I even did that.
What was your best, if you remember, your best game or set you ever bowled?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I'm a natural, though. I was very good.
Okay, Taryn, I see you.
But I was weak. Like, when those, like, real hardcore ones would, like, get into my kitchen. Do you know what that means, to get into someone's kitchen?
No, I bowled for a year in high school, but that's it.
No, well, people make fun of me because I say it all the time. Like, I'm getting into your kitchen, meaning, like, you know, I'm getting into your head. I'm banging around. Hmm. Anyway, so if people get in, they can get into my kitchen easily, and I get frazzled.
Oh, yeah, like under pressure. Yeah, mm-hmm. I get that easily too. See, I find that you have to be a natural since, like you said, you didn't like do it priorly. So are you a righty or a lefty?
I'm a righty.
Righty, okay, same. I bowl very strangely. You're supposed to start at the right side if you're righty. I start at the left and curve the other way. It's so strange.
Oh,
I know. I don't know how or why, but that's just what works for me. I don't know, but it is what it is.
You guys do 10 pin, hey?
Yeah, what do you do?
We do 5 pin.
Really?
Like small balls, so maybe this big.
What?
Yeah, they're tiny.
Are they like in a triangle, like pyramid formation?
Yep. But yeah, I've tried 10 pin before. Those balls are too heavy. They hurt my wrists.
So what? Okay. I know metrics. I know it's not by pounds in Canada, probably. What metrics or what is the weight of the ball you normally use?
I would say it's like maybe 5 pounds.
See, that's very light. That is, so normally here, ours starts at 6 pounds. I normally use an 8 or a 7 or an 8 or a 9. So I'm normally on the lighter side, but I know people who use like a 12, 13, 14. I'm like, how do you gotta chuck that thing down the lane?
Yeah. I mean, we've all seen those videos on the internet where people go like flying. That would be me. I'd forget to let go or something.
Oh, that's happened to me once. Oh, yeah, it was okay. I've seen a bowling ball break in half twice, actually.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy because sometimes people like to make fun and throw it really high and then it just lands. I've seen a bowling ball break twice. I don't, like, literally in half. Interesting. Crazy. I'm going to have to look this up. Canadian, like, in ball form, not pins? What?
Yeah, like, the ball's, like, this big and then There's five pins and you gotta knock them down.
I need to look this up right now. This is gonna be a Wrestling Gal exclusive. Canadian bowling pins. Oh, yeah. So interesting. So there's like, it shows like different like sizes and stuff. Damn it, stupid. So it shows like different sizes, like the middle one there, like it's really small.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know the pins were that much smaller though, but.
Yeah, so the American one is like the 10 pin, stupid. So ours is the one like that's farthest away here. It looks like Canada might be the middle one.
What's the other one with those like.
It's called a candle pin. That must be somewhere else. See, that's very interesting. Huh. Yours is called a duck pin, apparently.
Okay.
Interesting. I didn't even know they had that. You learn something new every day.
I think we're the only country that has like five pin bowling.
See that? I feel like, would you say, I don't know. You said it's definitely easier than 10 pin bowling, but that's probably because you're used to it. I don't know how I would fare in five pin bowling. I don't know.
Well, I don't think it's easier. I think it might be harder because in 10 pin bowling, you've got so many more that can just knock things down. This one, you have to be like fairly accurate.
Yeah. And like, if you have a split, it's probably, would you call it a 1-5 split? I don't know what your pin numbers are. We're not going to.
Like trying to count. I'm like, is the top one one? I can't remember what
normally the top one is one. Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah. So what's yours called again when it's the two outsides?
So we call that a 7-10 split.
I think I remember that from, what's that bowling movie? Kingpins. Kingpin? Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That was a good movie with like Woody Harrelson and what's his name?
I know what you're talking about. I just can't remember either. But yeah, see, that's interesting. I'm gonna have to do more research in this. I love this. But I mean, besides a bowler, I mean, you're also a teacher, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you say is your biggest pet peeve within the academic world or your own classroom?
Honestly, I think my biggest pet peeve is just like, I don't know. Honestly, like not to get too heavy right now is like our government is horrible, our provincial government, but maybe other pet peeves is that the kids are six and
first graders. Like, yeah.
Yeah. But it works out actually in my favor in wrestling because I realize now that I'm just like, if there's kids in the audience and I'm like being a baddie, I feel bad for them because they really get it. They kind of get all my frustrations.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Those two kids.
What I'm very curious too, like, what was your childhood aspiration? Like, when you were younger, what did you actually envision yourself doing when you grew up? Was it always teaching?
I don't know. I used to want to be like a marine biologist, but that kind of was like, hard. And I grew up in Alberta, like couldn't be more landlocked. I wanted to be a teacher for a really, really long time.
Yeah. And how, I mean, in today's society, it's probably a lot different, but what for you is maybe the most rewarding part of being a first grade teacher or teacher in general? Oh, man.
They're just so funny. We're kind of doing like our parent teacher conferences right now. Yeah. And like, just to hear from the parents, like they love coming to school and they're happy. And, you know, like I work in like I work in a neighborhood that has like big disparity. Like there's some really rich families that are able to bus into our school because it's like a specialty school, but we also have like the neighborhood kids and it's not like the most well-off neighborhood. So like, it's really nice just to be able to be there for a lot of those kids throughout the day, just to give them a safe place to be. And like, you know, they know that when they come to school, they're going to be like taken care of and safe and fed and warm. Like, so that's probably the most rewarding part of it. Just knowing that kids really rely on you for basic needs and like to be able to be there.
Especially in like today's day and age, like somebody to look up to, like a safe space to also guide them in their learning too as they grow up in this crazy world right now has got to be so difficult, but also rewarding, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely too. And I mean, I have to tell you too, shifting gears a little bit, I'm actually quite jealous that you've been to a lot of places, at least a lot more places in the world than I have. I mean, you've been to Zanzibar, Costa Rica, and so much more. But which for you has been maybe your favorite trip, like of all time, or favorite traveling destination that you've been to?
You know, there's quite a few. I think maybe I went to Sri Lanka with a couple friends a couple years ago, and I think that might have been my favorite one, just because of the company and because of the country. Like, I had no idea what it would be like, but it's just like this cool little surf country, like, you know, kind of just off of India. And like the food was awesome, the people were awesome, the beaches were great. Like, it was very unexpected, I think.
Definitely too. That sounds like a lot of fun. And you've been to different parts of the world for sure. I know you lived in the Middle East for a couple of years. Obviously, you've been to Zanzibar, you've been to Costa Rica, and probably, I mean, of course, the States and Canada. What has been maybe the weirdest food or strangest food that you've ever tried?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. You know, maybe Abu Dhabi's food's not that strange, but I've definitely had some strange things there. To be honest, one time in BC, I ate like an ostrich burger. That might have been like, just in BC might have been the strangest.
How did it taste? If you remember.
I don't remember. But yeah, I don't know. The food's kind of, food's good anywhere.
There, you can always pretty much find something you like, yeah.
Yeah, we went to an all-inclusive one time. It's the only time I've been. I'm trying to remember where it was. Anyways, it'll come to me. And just like the food in all-inclusive resorts are so nasty. But it's like free and there for you all the time.
Yeah.
So like nothing to complain about.
Yeah, some places are definitely like that too. But I mean, you've gotten to experience the world, and I mean life on the road too as a wrestler, I'm sure. So whether it be wrestling or just travel in general, what has been maybe the craziest or weirdest travel or road experience that you've had?
Honestly, it wasn't like crazy or weird, but myself, Steven, Michael, Gigi Ray and Zoe Sager, we drove out to Winnipeg for Raw one time.
I just talked about this with Gigi Ray, yeah.
And it was my favorite road trip I've ever had. I think like I laughed, what's that drive, like 13 hours? I must have laughed for 13 hours straight, like, because we drove through the night, we all had a show. And then we had to get there. So like people were really tired sleeping in the back, and Steven and I just sat in the front the whole time. Not the whole time. We took a little few turns driving, but just laughing. Like I've never laughed that much on a road trip. And it was just fun. Like it was so much fun. So exciting. And like, you know, to be at Raw was awesome.
Of course, too. And I mean, to pass the time like that on such a long, long drive where you're probably tired and hungry and all of that, I mean, you got to pass it too. And it's good that you had that support and some friends surrounding you for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, you said you guys were laughing a lot too. And just in general, like, how do you get through your long drives or long flights? Are you one that like listens to music or podcasts, or how do you pass the time on those long drives or flights?
Generally, if I'm alone, I just download Netflix episodes. But I didn't really realize that it was weird until I realized it was weird. But I really am obsessed with like Big Mouth right now. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's highly inappropriate to watch out in public. But I would like, I figured out this way to like set up my phone in the like pockets where they put those things and you bend them down and you rest the phone. And so I'd just be like watching Big Mouth, and then all of a sudden there'd be like these cartoon dicks everywhere. And I'd be like, oh my God, like this is cartoon pornography. And then I was like, oh, well, like it's the only thing that kind of will like lull me to sleep every once in a while. So.
I mean, as long as nobody is sitting next to you on the plane, it's like, what is, I mean, just imagine. But I mean, you got to get through that, whether it be like on a in the car or on a plane. Plane rides are a whole other thing. I feel like than in the car. At least on the plane, you can like kind of sleep more, sleep more comfortably and like kind of just tune things out and all that. I don't know.
Yeah. But I am into podcasts too, so that helps.
What kind of, there's a lot of podcasts, like murder and like true crime is very popular, like entrepreneur, like self-help. Like what are you, what genres, I guess, of podcasts do you find yourself captivated by?
I definitely am into the murder ones. Like I'm a white female in my mid-30s. Like that's our crack. But sometimes I find them very dark and scary.
Oh yeah.
So there's been times where if I'm like driving through the night, I have to turn them off because I'm like, oh damn, like I'm getting in my head now. But I'm obsessed with The Real Housewives, like obsessed. So I listen like religiously to this podcast called Bitch Sesh. It's just them recapping and shitting on The Real Housewives.
I feel like everybody needs to love like a good reality TV show, like whether it's good or bad. Like I have my own. I know a lot of people love The Real Housewives or like When Wags Was a Thing and all of that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I wouldn't say they're like bad reality. I mean, I watch like The Circle, like Survivor, like Big Brother, a little bit of The Challenge.
Yeah.
I used to be huge into like The Biggest Loser and all of that. A lot of like the ones that have been around for a while, I would say.
Those ones. Those are good like palate cleansers. But yeah. Then I really need to see the fighting. Like I need to see middle-aged women getting drunk and saying horrendous things to each other.
I mean, I used to watch like, I definitely shouldn't have been watching it when I was, but like Bad Girls Club and like Jersey Shore but I was in like middle school. I definitely should not have been watching that at like 11, 12 years old. Or even like, I think a little bit of Rock of Love too. I should not have been watching that in middle school.
They had like the most brilliant but simplest idea to make a show. They were like, get these women on here, feed them alcohol from the moment they wake up to the second they pass out in their own vomit, put a camera on them and just go. And it was like the best thing ever. They just made horrible decisions for all of us to watch in awe. I remember, what was that one, Flavor of Love? Did you ever watch Flavor of Love with Flavor Flav?
Oh yeah.
And oh my god, they had some characters. They had one girl shit the floor. She was wearing a dress and they were like going to Cheers at the end, and then you just see her bend down and pick something up, and then she like starts running up the stairs and she picked up the shit that she had shit earlier and as she was running up it just kept coming out of her. Horrible.
Yeah,
but like that's the shit that like you can't write that shit.
No, it's, I mean, you can't script everything. I mean, it's reality TV, but probably most of it is scripted, but that you can't script that.
I have a really good ability to like turn off the reality that it is scripted.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, this is real. And I need it to be real, to be honest. It's been a rough 2 years.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah, there's been a lot of crazy shows throughout even just like the last decade. Like I think I started probably watching like those types of shows in like 2009, like I said, in middle school, and I was like, not, shouldn't have been watching it. But
yeah.
It was, I mean, you grow up and you're like, what is this? Like, what are all these people doing? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I find that so fascinating too. And you said earlier, and you've said it multiple times too, I mean, you kind of started wrestling late in life. So I'm very curious, what really finally pushed you to pursue professional wrestling? And did you kind of have any initial hesitation going into this pursuit?
Yeah, like I think naturally I'm a procrastinator, and like I've never been a go-getter. I've never found like a passion that I was like, yeah, let's pursue this, you know, I would try this and try that and whatever. And I was always like, I knew this boy, Donnie, like when I was in my early 20s, and he was a wrestler, and I never knew what that meant. I never realized. I was just like, oh, it's him and some buddies just doing like, I just imagine like some backyard shit, you know? Yeah. And then I started going to like the local shows and I was like, oh, like these are just regular ass people. Like these are normal people just like me who like are doing something cool with their time. And then, I don't know, obviously I've just always liked wrestling. So when I saw that there was like a mini camp or whatever tryout, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I forced myself to go. I put the flyer on my fridge. I looked at it and was like, you're going, you're going, you're going. And like, cause it's something I would have backed out of normally. And I don't know what it was about it that I was like, no, I'm doing this. I was hooked. Like, I couldn't move my neck. I couldn't, like, I was so sore and so beat up and so old compared to everybody else. But it was just like instant hook.
But yeah, like I said, the last few years, though, you have really come to the forefront of the Canadian wrestling scene. I mean, alongside the likes of Ava Lawless, Zoe Sager, Casey Spinelli, yourself, and so many more. So for you, like how these last 3+ years, how would you kind of describe the overall atmosphere of the Canadian scene?
I mean, honestly, I think there's like new promotions popping up everywhere and they're good. Like, the wrestlers are so good in Canada. And I think, like, I know for myself and like a lot of other people, like we took this like COVID downtime to really work on our craft, like to train hard with each other and just like be ready for when shows were out. And then once shows started again, it was like just a stampede of these fantastic wrestlers who are like eager to like show where we're at now. I love the Canadian wrestling scene, especially out here, like out west. I don't know too much about what's going on out east, but out west, like with all the talent they have in BC, training out of like Lionsgate Dojo, the talent we have here, like we've got probably one of the best trainers ever. Michael Richard Blaze, obviously, like he's really prepared us for things opening up. And Casey Spinelli is my dream. I just love her. I haven't got to wrestle her yet, but like our time's coming and I cannot wait.
She's done a lot of work like all around the world and she's been around for a while too. So she's definitely like, I've been watching her stuff for a couple of years now and like absolutely incredible. And you get to be surrounded by so many people. I mean, you've accomplished so much in your career so far, but to close things out, looking towards the future, what are some of your personal or professional goals you'd like to accomplish in the next few years?
Honestly, in the next few years, I want to like continue moving forward with new, we've got WrestleCore that just kind of debuted a couple weeks ago with Dropkick 3000. So I'm really excited to see where we can go with WrestleCore. Myself, Michael, and Steven are going to be heading out to Vancouver with that, with our clandestine society. So I'm just really excited to see what kind of like opportunities we get through that. And like, obviously, like I want to get to Defy, GCW, see my girl.
Gotta get you over here to the States.
I know.
Or next time Effie just needs to bring along Allie, pretty much.
I know. We gotta get Spencer on it. You get on it, I'll get on it. I'm actually going to see him after this, so I'm gonna say.
Okay, tell him I said hello. I heard, I assume it was you, but he somehow knew about this interview before I even announced it. So you let the good old Spencer know that I said hello.
I definitely will. He's actually, we're just setting up for Love Wrestling, which is tomorrow, but
yeah, of course.
So you guys will see. I'm excited. I'm still the champ. I don't even know.
By the time this comes out, we will know. But as of right now, you are still the Love Wrestling champ. So
that's right. And I'm still best friends with Stephen Crow, and hopefully that'll stay that way.
Yeah.
That's like the heartbreak of my life.
It's okay. I mean, life is all about heartbreak sometimes, right? I don't mean to get deep, but yeah. But Taryn, before I let you go, can you please tell the listeners where they can find you on all your social medias?
Yes, I just learned my Twitter handle, and it is at TFA Wrestling. That's right. And on Instagram, it is, oh, here we go, Taryn from Accounting. Am I stupid? Like, that's my wrestling name, and I couldn't remember that.
To be fair, like, I have different handles for Twitter and Instagram, like, a bunch of my stuff, too. So sometimes it's hard to keep track of, like, it just all blurs together.
Yeah.
So, or like, yeah. Usernames are taken, but TFA Wrestling on Twitter and then Taryn from Accounting on Instagram. Taryn, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You're so awesome. Thank you so much for having me.